AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on ABC the Civic News. Media app.
I'm Derek Dennis in Wilmington, Delaware. In federal court, the plea deal between Hunter Biden and federal prosecutors over two misdemeanor charges and a gun-related charge fell apart. President Biden's son was expected to plead guilty. Instead, Hunter Biden pleaded not guilty after a back and forth between the judge and attorneys over the terms of the deal. ABC's Olivia Rubin was inside the courtroom and says the judge was not reassured by either side and ordered a recess.
Even when they came back after recess, they had been able to come together and say they would protect him on certain issues for certain years. Still, the judge continued piecing through that agreement and finding more issues, at one point questioning at all if the agreement was even constitutional.
The judge ended the hearing and told both sides to meet in the coming weeks to see if an agreement is possible. The Federal Reserve Board has raised interest rates by a quarter point in its fight against inflation. The decision unanimous. This is ABC News. Six people, including two firefighters, suffered minor injuries after a fire and then a partial collapse of a construction crane in Midtown Manhattan. Investigators are looking into the cause. A popular condiment being honored by a candy company.
The familiar Skittles catchphrase,
"Taste the rainbow,"
might make you just a little leery if you knew one of the tastes included in the Skittles bag was mustard. Luckily, they won't be sprinkled in there to surprise you, but the famous candy is teaming up with French's to celebrate National Mustard Day on August 5th with mustard-flavored Skittles. The company's planning to be in Atlanta, Washington, and New York City in a mustard-yellow bus that day. But if you can't wait even that long, go to the French's website and try and win a bag of yellow Skittles so you can taste the mustard for yourself. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
If you're in the airport in Las Vegas, you may want to play one of their slot machines. The Wheel of Fortune machine paid out $1.2 million this week. And less than a month ago, a different slot machine paid out a similar jackpot. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory. The St. Croix County Sheriff's Office is raising money to honor Katie Lysing, the deputy killed during a traffic stop on May 6. In a Facebook post, the Sheriff's Office said it would use the money to create a local memorial and provide mental health support for area officers and their families, as well as to send family and officers to Washington, D.C. next year to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial. A link to donate is included in the Sheriff's Office post. The deadline to apply to be a judge of the Barron County Circuit Court has been extended. The office of Governor Tony Evers said anyone interested in serving through July of next year needs to apply by August 11th. The person who is appointed will replace Judge J.M. Bitney, who is retiring in September. The application is on Governor Evers' website. And with temperatures expected to climb well into the 90s, cooling centers have been opened up across northwestern Wisconsin. These typically include libraries, community buildings, and other shelters. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And at St. Paul or CafeLatte.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Matt and Patrick here today. Not a usual. You're nice to have you here today. Did you just stay inside here and not leave after all the heat there?
Actually, was not that bad when I left the house. I mean, relatively not that bad. It might be worse now.
Oh, it's steamy. It's steamy. I think it was, 93? Let me check you the AccuWeather app. Or I guess, let's see. 92 is what it's saying right now. 92. So, yeah, it is a smidge warm out there, just so keep that in mind. Like I said, Stein joining us here on a Wednesday, so that's coming up here in about 30 minutes. Sinead O'Connor, the gifted Irish singer-songwriter, became a superstar in the mid-20s, was known for much of her private struggles and provocative actions. As for her fierce and expressive music, she has passed away at 56. It's a sadness that we announce the passing of our beloved Sinead. Her family and friends are devastated and requested privacy at the very difficult time. She was public about her mental illness, saying she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder. O'Connor posted on Facebook a video in 2017 from a New Jersey motel where she'd been living, saying she was staying alive for the sake of others and that if it were up to her, she'd be gone. When her teenage son Shane died by suicide last year, O'Connor tweeted there was no point in living without him. And she soon was actually hospitalized, recognizable by her shaved head and a multi-octave mezzo-soprano. O'Connor became a career singer in the streets of Dublin, soon rose to international fame. She was the star of her 87 debut, The Lion and the Cobra, which became a sensation in 1990 with her cover of Prince's Nothing Compares to You, it's not often you can say this about anything that Prince did. She did such a good job that song. I mean, I know there's Prince fans are going to get upset about that, but she made that song her own, and that is not something easy to do with a Prince song. So she definitely was known for that. I remember it was not long afterwards that she and the critic of the Roman Catholic Church well before the allegations of sexual abuse were widely reported. O'Connor made headlines in October 1992 when she tore up a photo of Pope John Paul II while appearing on Saturday Night Live and denounced the church as the enemy. And by the way, can I just say this? As everyone vilified her, and boy, did they vilify her back then. They vilified her. I mean, she was... now that you say, oh, yeah, and by the way, in the years right after that, we just started learning of the absolute toxic culture of the Catholic Church. Yeah. The next week, Joe Pesci actually hosted Saturday Night Live, helped up hold up the prepared photo of the Pope, said if he'd been on the show with O'Connor, he'd give her a big smack. Days later, she appeared in an all-star tribute for Bob Dylan at Madison Square Garden, was immediately booed. She was supposed to sing Dylan's I Believe in You, but switched to an a cappella version of Bob Marley's War, which she had sung on Saturday Night Live. Although consoled and encouraged on stage by her friend Chris Christopherson, she left and broke down. Her performance was kept off the concert CD. Years later, Christopherson recorded Sister Sinead for what he wrote. And maybe she's crazy, maybe she ain't, but she was so, but so was Picasso, and so were the Saints. So. She also feuded with Frank Sinatra over her refusal to allow the playing of the Star Spangled Banner at one of her shows and accused Prince of physically threatening her. In 1989, she had declared her support for the Irish Republican Army. A statement was retracted a year later. Around the same time, she skipped the Grammy ceremony, saying it was too commercialized. So, it's known for a lot of things. And obviously, I think at the end here, losing her son and her mental illness consumed her. I don't think they've released the actual cause of death. They've said she passed away. I don't believe it's quite known what her cause of death was, but I imagine that will be released here before too much longer. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. So, I want to get into something here, and today is a perfect, if you're in Minneapolis, St. Paul, by the way, everyone who's listening across the country, worldwide, I'm just as stunned as you are. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. But I want to specifically talk about something that is, it's opportune time to talk about it now. And that is this idea that is put forward by, let's just call it what it is, racists. And I don't care that Ron DeSantis or the guys over on Fox News, racists, that have tried to, what they say is this, and Katabu basically made the point about this. She said, she goes, they're trying, initially what they're trying to say is, no one's saying slavery is good, but let me tell you how it was good. And you shouldn't be doing that. And I brought it up because there is this intentional design by white racists or white opportunists who are willing to bank on the racists being happy with them saying it. Let's just be honest here. That by downplaying slavery wasn't bad, they learned unskilled trade. Which is, once again, one of the stupidest damn things I've ever heard in my life. And I'm going to go through that here in a second. But now they're upping the ante. And they're saying, well, as bad as the Holocaust was, okay. Well, you know, some of them learned some, you know, some trades to be, they learned skilled trades to be useful. And that is not a plus. And that was Gutfeld last night on Fox. So you can see where this is going. The same people who every time you say Jason Aldean made a bad album, like, you're persecuting white people, can't sit there and say, oh, slavery was bad. So for everybody out there, let's start with that. If from the Jewish point of view, there was no upside to the Holocaust. All right. All right. From the African-American and Native American, because there were many Native Americans who were enslaved as well. From their point of view, there was no upside to slavery. And the idea that you are trying to float this out there is so insulting, it goes beyond words. Now, I have talked about, I went out to, in Charleston, there is one of the houses out there. I believe it was the Rhett House. Still has their slave quarters intact. And what had happened is after the Civil War, many of these people basically to try to hide their legacy either sold off the lots, because what it was is the Southern house basically had their big mansion in the front. And then a big wall with slave quarters in the back that went all the way back to the back street. So, you know, imagine on your standard city block, the one side of that block is there, and then all the way through your backyard and the neighbor behind you's yard, that would all be one place, and the slave quarters would be back there, and then there'd be access to the street. And that's kind of what their setup was. They'd have gardening back there. They would have, you know, the horses and stuff like that. That's all would be back there. The main building, the main house would be in the front. This is one of the few houses this down in Charleston. If you get the chance to take the tour, it is remarkable, and you will be stunned. I mean stunned when you actually hear about how these people were treated, because there is no way that you can look back on this and try to rationalize this as any way good. And when they sit there and say, everyone knows slavery was bad, but no, just stop. Just everyone knows slavery was bad. That was it. You trying to find a silver lining only means, once again, either you're a racist or you're basically pandering to racists to try to appeal to them. Only two options. The only two options. The idea as well of, well, they learned skilled trades. Okay. The vast majority of enslaved African Americans weren't blacksmiths or leather workers or carpenters or stuff like that. They might have worked for the blacksmith and shoveled coal for them, but they weren't out there making things nearly as much as you try to portray that as happening. within Southern culture, there were some things which were societally accepted, and that when it came to the skilled trades, those were lower income whites in the South. That the jobs that the African-American slaves did were generally the hardest labor that you can have. Now, most of the labor in slavery seems, you know, if you read up on the subject at all, basically boils down to two different groups, farmhands and as well, you know, people that worked at the house. And that was a variety of different tasks there, but it was the case. Neither one of them were treated very well. There isn't any kind of greatness here. There might have been a little bit more additional skills. I mean, obviously, they had some people that were cooking the meals for the white families and cleaning things, but they're being forced to do so, and they would be doing it anyway. So don't try to act like slavery somehow was this great opportunity for them. No, this was they took the skills they had and basically whipped them, beat them, and forced them to do them for them. Once again, no upside. All right. So here's why today is a good day for this. We are in Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is 92 degrees. It is pretty humid outside. It is god awful. Now, if you have not traveled to the southeastern United States, this is summer right here. This day that we are having here, which is one of, you know, going to be one of the hotter days we have this year, probably one of the top 20 days we have. This is pretty much a standard summer day in the South. Lots of humidity, lots of heat. Now, when you're talking about the farm workers, they were put out into the farm to do menial labor tasks in this heat, sometimes without food, sometimes without water, many times being beaten as they did it, and many times in chains. And if they didn't pick fast enough, guess what? They were locked up. They were beaten even more. That was that. There is no, you sit there and say, well, they learned a skilled trade. What are you freaking talking about? They were put into the worst conditions to do the worst jobs under threat, violence, beatings, starvation, dehydration. Not because the slave owners were thinking, I need to make sure these guys learn a trade, because the slave owners were greedy, racist bastards who basically were looking at slaves as a paperclip and didn't care about them at all, at all. Your insistence, they learned skilled trades. We talked about, we've had Dolores Pringle on from the Penn Center down there in South Carolina. And this was the beginning of this was a unique time. If you hadn't heard the story, we've had her on many times. This was the situation where they had, after Fort Sumter fell, the troops did not go back north. They just sailed into the nearest deep harbor, which is Beaufort, South Carolina. And they occupied that area for the rest of the Civil War. They had what's called the Great Skedaddle. They all ran, all the white slave owners ran for their lives. And the U.S. Army had this unique situation. All the whites had left. And so all they had were these freed slaves who yet had been to be emancipated. And they looked at this as a great experiment, how they could do this. And the Penn Center opened up to come down and teach kids how to read and write, because they did not know how to do that. As these racist jackasses keep saying, the benevolent slave owners, they didn't teach them how to read or write. And one of the main goals they did was teach them basic skills at the Penn Center so that they could make a career, which they did. And they did quite successfully. They were able to, you know, teach them things there. They had not been taught. And as a matter of fact, one of the more fascinating parts is they realized at the Penn Center the importance of automobiles very early on, and started teaching African-Americans how to fix automobiles. And they became some of the best automobile repair people in the country, because they were actually being given a skilled trade, something that they were not given back when they were slaves. The idea that you are suggesting this is ludicrous. that you're suggesting they got a skill trade, because they didn't get skill trades. And like I said, I mean, sure, maybe a handful learned how to do some skill trades, but the vast majority of them, the poor whites were the skilled tradesmen down there, and they were given, you know, might be given a slave to basically go fetch the wood or go fetch the coal or you know, whatever the case may be, sweep the floors. That's not what a skilled trade is. It was slavery. And by the way, if you do think to yourself, well, things must have been a lot better in the city when the people were at the house, the slaves they had there, I do need to remind you there was one year that a third of the slaves in Charleston died of malnutrition. They were being starved to death by their benevolent owners. Starved to death. A third of them. Many of them, and here's where it gets sick, many of them tasked with the job of making the opulent meals for the white family to take them upstairs and deliver them to the white family so they could eat, only to have to go back downstairs and starve. Stop. Stop. There's a lot of reasons we're at this point. Andrew Johnson was a very big problem of it. I think Lincoln's approach that, you know, just to let them go back to being U.S. citizens, I think that was wrong. I think Grant, desperate to get Rutherford B. Hayes into the White House, agreeing to withdraw the troops from the South. The tolerance of the Confederacy's imagery and flags and statues, that should have never been allowed. It shouldn't. You know, you have freedom of speech, but at the same time, these were just some really bad people. And, you know, it's so funny because I keep hearing, every time I hear someone talk about the Civil War, and I just talked about this, we talked about the first Minnesota over at Gettysburg, and we talk about Lee. One of the things that Lee was doing, you know, Robert E. Lee, who all these Southerners say, he was really nice to his slaves. You know what Robert Lee commanded the Army of the South to do once they invaded the North, going into Maryland and into Pennsylvania? Any black person they found, they shipped south to turn into a slave. That was under Robert E. Lee's command, his order. If you find a freed black man in the North, they were to be kidnapped from the North, shipped back south, and turned into a slave. Stop. Stop. Stop, you racist pigs. Stop, you unbelievably horrible people who are trying to pander to racist pigs. Stop. Slavery was not good. There was no upswing. There was no positive. There was no trades learned. There was nothing. It was human beings keeping other human beings as slaves. Don't even try to just stop. Slavery was bad. Done. No buts, no nothing. You're finished. And I want you to go outside today. I want you to go outside today at some point today and think to yourself, being in a field with no shade whatsoever on a day like this, with maybe no food, maybe no water, maybe getting whipped, maybe being chained, and having to work from sunrise to sunset on a day like today out in the fields picking crops. And you tell me, well, there was a benefit there. Please, most of you guys wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes out in the sun, even with sunscreen and a pool. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Tom. Since 2009, All Energy Solar has been providing solar energy solutions to customers. With fully licensed electricians and installers, you can be sure that your solar installation will go smoothly. The team at All Energy Solar understands that every customer is unique. They'll take the time to survey and understand your property to find a solar solution that works for you. One of the biggest advantages of going solar is the opportunity to take advantage of the many solar incentives available. But it can often be confusing to know what you're qualified for. All Energy Solar professionals will help you find out what savings you can apply for and even help with your applications. This is especially important since many rebate programs have limited capacity and are first come, first serve. So it's important to have a professional on your side who will make sure you get every eligible rebate. Get a free no-obligation assessment from all Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists by calling 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 94, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526 or autotech.org.
By the way, Twins lost this afternoon, 8-7 to Seattle. That game last night, I'm done with this team for a while. I am done with this team for a while. That game last night, 18 strikeouts? They put a pitcher out there that looked like a high school pitcher. He couldn't get anything out. I mean, I could have hit him out of the park. And then they had a guy that looked like he pitched college, and he got clobbered, too. You were up, what was it, 6-1 in that game. 6-1, and you lost it. And then today, once again, home run, home run, home run. I guarantee I don't even want to know how many strikeouts. I'm done with this team for a while. I just you need to fire some coaches, and you need to start with the hitting coach, because that hitting coach is a freaking atrocious. This could be the worst hitting coach I've ever seen in my life. And the fact that they keep him there, I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, 952-946-6205. By the way, in case you were wondering why I am on this, of course, Ron DeSantis down in Florida basically changed the textbooks in schools saying, hey, slavery was great, you know. And I know he's not saying exactly that, but he's kind of said children should not, slavery had benefits for the slaves, which is an outright lie. Jesse Waters on Fox News then chimed in on Friday of last week saying, okay, no one, he said, this is what he says. No one is arguing slaves benefited from slavery. No one is saying that. It's not true. But then he goes on to say, they're teaching how black people develop skills during slavery, which in some instances could be applied to their own personal benefit. Okay, you're basically contradicting yourself there, you idiot. But it is Jesse Waters. That guy is, I mean, he must have to have someone follow him around telling him, breathe in. Okay, breathe out now. The Fox News guys were back on Monday defending DeSantis on his new public education standards. Specifically that middle school must teach that enslaved people develop skills, which in some instances could be applied for their personal benefit. So slavery, great. Waters came to the defense of the system of slavery, attacking Vice President Kamala Harris, who traveled to Florida to denounce DeSantis' education requirements. Waters says it's well documented amongst historians. Actually, no, it's not. If you insist, was taught because they were slaves and they are ordered to do it. It wasn't like, okay, school's in session. All right, let's take a test now, okay? We have recess and lunch later. No. And once again, the vast majority of slaves were not taught any kind of trade skills. They were basically put out into field to do hard manual labor in the fields. Basically, as he keeps digging himself deeper and deeper, insisting black people love slavery. I'm paraphrasing, but you kind of get where I'm going. The Fox News' one liberal host, Jessica Tarlov, weighed in, mentioning she's Jewish. Would someone say that about the Holocaust, for instance? And this is where it just goes, you know, sideways. Greg Gutfeld decided to chime in. He said yes. Basically, he said... He quoted Viktor Frankl talks about how you had to survive in a concentration camp by having skills, had to be useful, utility kept you alive. saying that, see, the problem wasn't the concentration camps. The problem was the Jews that didn't have any skills and weren't trying hard enough. That's basically how Gutfield broke it down. Tarlov was not having it. I'm talking about middle schoolers here, and there's a ton of concern about what age people are prepared to understand complex issues. Brian Tannehill, author of American's Fascism, How the GOP is Subverting Democracy, responded to Waters' remarks by saying, these freaking ghouls will defend the Holocaust as a job training program if Hitler had an R next to his name in the ballot in 1933. Attorney, political commentator, and former South Carolina state lawmaker Bakari Sellers wrote, if slavery was so good, why didn't white folks volunteer? This is asinine. Very good point. Everyone else at Fox News was fine with Gutfeld suggesting Jews sent to concentration camps could survive by being useful. Can any of his fellow panelists show up tomorrow to sit next to him? Tannehill also responded to Crystal's remarks. We've hit the Holocaust wasn't all bad and we need to teach both sides, haven't we? Wow. CNN host W. Common Bell blasted Gutfeld. These people show us over and over again they are the worst and least serious people, and yet there seems to be no mechanism for unplugging their microphones. And the reason why is this. Fox News' total audience is like 3 million people. 3 million in a country of 330 million people. They're probably racist. I'm sorry. I just don't think people say stuff like this unless they're racist. But giving them that out, their whole goal is to appeal to racists. And that's what they're doing. And unless people start calling them out more harshly, I just don't know how it's going to stop. Stein, when we do come on back, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res. Allow me to give you a couple of the most important cleaning tips that you need to know. Vacuuming is not sufficient to maintain the cleanliness and lifespan of your carpet, period. My friends at Zero Res use their platinum-rated cleaning system that safely and effectively removes all that deeply embedded nasty dirt, dander, and bacteria. Not only does the patented Zero Res process clean better than anything on the market, surfaces dry faster, and your home and business will stay cleaner longer guaranteed. July is National Carpet Cleaning Month, and because of that, check out this amazing deal Zero Res has going. Zero Res is offering 3 rooms starting at just $129 and get a 4th room free. It's also the perfect time of year to get your air ducts cleaned this month and take 20% off any air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com and ask for the AM 950 special. That's Zero Res.
There really is no place like home. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Home Health. When you're faced with an illness or an injury, being able to stay at home and receive care is important. Our home health offers a wide range of services, including skilled nursing, physical, occupational, and speech therapies, AIDS, homemakers, in-home respite care, and 24/7 live-in care. We'll work closely with your primary care provider to come up with an individualized plan for you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
You hear a lot about Rudy Luther Toyota's hybrid cars, but maybe you're asking yourself, are they worth it? Let me say from experience, absolutely. I have a Toyota Sienna hybrid, and the proof is in the gas tank. Before my hybrid, I was filling up my tank once a week. Now it's consistently every 2 weeks. I did the math, and my hybrid is saving me over $1,000 every year. And the Toyota hybrids are some of the most stylish and comfortable vehicles you'll ever drive. Now's the time to get a Toyota hybrid. Set up a time to test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. A heat advisory is in effect today as we expect sunny skies and a high near 95. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 73, and Thursday, sunny with a high near 96. Grab a tray at Cafe Latte's cafeteria and select from a wide variety of sandwiches, salads, and soups. The bakery features fresh baked breads, cupcakes, and more, while the pizza and wine bar has gourmet pizzas that pair perfectly with their 30-plus wines by the glass. Located off Victoria and Grand at St. Paul or at CafeLatte.com.
Jeff.
Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com, the Iowa Business Report, and the Iowa Politics Report. Come to us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo, where Jeff is currently stationed. Hi there, Jeff.
Hot enough for you, man?
What is it like down there, man? Because one of the things I think that people don't realize in Minneapolis is, you know, as you go from here to Missouri, I mean, by the time you get to southern Missouri, it is just unbearable. It's the humidity is god awful and the heat is god awful and ugh. But you know, it kind of slowly climbs as you go southbound. Where are you at in Waterloo right now?
Well, and again, as you cross into Missouri, the IQ level goes far down.
Yeah, it does.
It goes up, but 93 degrees. It feels like 101.
Oh wow!
And it's only got to get worse, buddy.
How long till the beard comes off? How long till the beard comes off?
Well, I've had this for 35 or 40 years, so a little heat isn't going to bother me.
You
don't want to see what's underneath this.
I don't know if I do.
I don't think you do.
I think it's kind of things have set up. All right, so I want to point out something that you'd sent me this email. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. To join the IDP press conference ahead of the GOP Lincoln dinner. This is on Friday. Basically, so Walz is shooting across the border. I'm going to guess someplace, Mason City, maybe, Waterloo, maybe Dubuque or something like that.
And well, I think he's in Des Moines, isn't he?
It will be Des Moines. That's right. He'll be down in Des Moines. Mm-hmm. So he's going to go down there, and he's going to be there. And what I say to you is, hey, you could, I said tackle him. You'd be a fool to let him get back to Minnesota. and by the way, ask him if Matt McNeil is his favorite radio host. And you said, like I'm attending that. Wow, that's a shot against our governor. I'll take that.
Well, no, like I'm attending any news conference of either side. Is the point. I'm not going near any news conference. Are you kidding me?
Really?
I mean, it is much better to sit back in an air-conditioned studio and not actually go out and talk to people, not actually go out and report news, just pontificate based upon what you see on Twitter or whatever we call it these days. No, I'm not going to actually go cover news. Heavens. It has nothing to do with who's attending. I don't care.
As you said,
I might come see you, but not if you were at a news conference.
It does make a point. All the news people I knew down in Iowa would come back from news conferences, and their brows would just be furrowed. You know, they really seemed to not be happy. That and city council meetings really kind of set them off.
Unclear. I can't hear you.
You can't hear me.
I can't hear you. I see your mouth moving. I hear myself.
All righty. I'll tell you what, maybe what we'll do is try to reconnect. You want to try to do that really quick? We'll reconnect you there.
Well, this is the best of all worlds. I can't hear Matt.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I better disconnect and try again. Huh?
Yes. Let's do that. Okay. He's going to try to get back in touch with us. I don't know why he seemed to be listening to me. Either that or he's really good at reading lips. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Let me know when he pops back up. No, since he's there, if I can take a quick moment for myself. I started my first talk radio show I ever did was at KASI in Ames, Iowa. And there was a guy there, the morning show host, a guy named Mel Crippen, and was a really nice guy. I worked there for 3.5 years, and Mel was the guy that taught me how to do talk radio. And by the way, get him. That would probably be the best bet. Mel retired and and first of all, he's still alive. What? But Mel retired. He is long overdue. He got to be featured as the Grand Marshal in a parade. He got to do all these fun things. And he went on out there and was very, very appreciated and a long career. One of the best live radio people I've ever met in my life. And he taught me a lot about how to do good radio and be appreciative of what we're doing. So a big salute to Mel Crippen down at KASI, who just retired. And like I said, if you're looking to blame anyone for teaching me how to do talk radio, it was Mel. So do we have Jeff back?
We have Jeff back on. Can you hear us, Jeff?
No. I just got to say, it doesn't sound like we even have an internet connection now. Oh, this is nice. Are we going to go? I mean, we might be going old school back to the phone here in just a second on this in a second. But
no, we can hear you through it.
Okay, but they're so just 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I got to get to Jeff about Rudy Giuliani, because if you did not see this, Rudy Giuliani basically was, and for lack of a better way to say it, just amazing in his, he's doing a Hail Mary in regards to this story about the two poll workers down in Georgia, where he basically went out there and threatened them and made up stories about them, made up lies about them. So do we have him on the phone now?
Yes, we do.
There we go. Hey, Jeff.
Well, I'm hearing you through the phone, and I'm seeing you through the interweb, and you can probably hear me through the interweb.
I can hear you. I'm glad to hear you anything, because I was lonely. I did. By the way, how much did you know Mel Crippen down there at KASI? He just retired down there.
He did.
Yeah.
And I sent him a congratulatory note. And in the true world,
Heart Media, rather than actually hiring a replacement, mm-hmm. they're just simulcasting a show from Cedar Rapids.
What do you mean? Ames is not. Ames doesn't have a local show anymore.
No, from 6 to 9, they're simulcasting a show that's based in Cedar Rapids that's also being heard in Davenport.
Pop your headset back on for a quick second, Patrick. Take a listen. So I'm just hearing a little bit of an echo in the background on this, so just FYI, okay?
That's because we're running. Jeff is listening to you through the phone.
Technology is wonderful. Hey, Rudy Giuliani, let's just go right to there. He's not going to get out of this in any way easily, is he?
Well, when your best defense is, I admit that I did not tell the truth, but it was not defamatory, and so I should not be held responsible. I don't know. I mean, did he sign a pleading asserting that this was true and correct? Then we got a problem. If he's just spouting off, he's spouting off, but it does not help from a reputational standpoint. And again, there are criminal charges, there are civil lawsuits, but there's lawyer discipline. And if he is making public statements, knowing they are false regarding the outcome of a case, that's a big problem. And he better hold on to the talk show, because he won't be in a courtroom.
Fulton County election worker Ruby Freeman and Wandira Moss sued Giuliani for defamation in December of 21. They claimed the former New York City mayor falsely asserted that the pair committed election fraud to hurt Trump in Georgia in 2020. I mean, it was clear he didn't have any evidence of this at all. And so now he's saying it's protected political speech. That's what he said. I mean, you've got the law degree here. When you get that specific about someone's individual, there is no real way that you're going to be able to use that as a defense, correct? I mean, there's just no way, really, is there?
Well, he's being sued for defamation. He's admitting the statements were false, but not that they were defamatory. These are not elected officials, to my way of thinking. In which case, I just don't understand how you can say someone committed fraud, how that is, if false, not defamatory. I mean, he's basically admitted the claim, has he not? I don't care that he says it isn't, but I mean, you just take your own counsel on this. if I said that you were acting as an election official, if I said you committed fraud and that's not true, mm-hmm. is that not tantamount to criticizing your job performance and making people think less of you? That's what defamatory means.
Well, and then there's also the side note of the death threats and the people that followed these poll workers. And, you know, and let's be honest, we now know for a fact, I mean, none of it was true. We know none of it was true. He was just putting it out there as a story to just basically rile up, you know, get the conservative media in this country riled up and the conservatives of the country riled up. And, it's amazing to me. You and I both, we're not that old. We remember back in 2001 and Rudy Giuliani there after the attack and, you know, America's mayor and all these things. And to see this man's fall today, that he is going to lose. Did he lose his law license or is he about to? Did they rule on that officially?
Well, He's licensed in multiple jurisdictions and there are multiple proceedings. Okay. And so it's frankly hard to keep track.
Okay. He's not even going to be a lawyer anymore. And his legacy, no one remembers the guy anymore as America's mayor or not, you know, the guy that was there, helping out his own city on 9/11. No one remembers that anymore. It's just this freaking loon ball that sold out the country for Trump.
Well, what it comes down to is, as an attorney, you cannot bring a claim if you know that it is not meritorious. And so if the whole foundation of the claim is based on statements that you know are not true, you are not ethically allowed to pursue that claim.
Well, can I ask you?
That's the short of it.
Quick point here, side point. So you bring up a lawyer, and I have no doubt at some point Giuliani went into a courtroom somewhere and screamed, oh, I got these two poll workers in Georgia that are fraudulent. But that's different from him going up on Fox News and saying it. It sounds to me like, you know, and yes, he is a lawyer, but he's trying to use his lawyer after the fact. To my knowledge, he's not actually performing a legal duty when he's on as a guest on a talk show. So couldn't you even separate these statements down to say, hey, this is just some guy. This is Fox News, you know, going after Dominion. It's just, you know, here you got someone making up something on television and it was an outright lie. I mean, is it better to separate those two out or is that just it doesn't matter? If the fact is no matter where he was saying it, even if he was in a courtroom or there's the defamation.
Well, and again, there's so many different things on this. If it's a defamation lawsuit, it does not matter where he said it.
Okay.
But if you're talking about going after attorney discipline, if he is making comments outside of court on television that he knows to be false with a pending case that he has some tie to, that's big trouble. Otherwise, he's just a gas bag blowing on.
Yeah.
But frankly, shouldn't we have suspected problems when he showed up at that first news conference with all the other lawyers behind him? And you remember he had used the shoe polish that morning on his head. And again, I'm a vain person. I mean, let's face it. You've known me a long time. I'm all about the appearance. But when, as you perspire, your hair leaks, that's a problem. When Sean Hannity has you on his show and makes fun of you about it, which happened. Okay. That should have told you this is much more about theater than it is about justice.
And someone said to him, hey, that looks great. He looks like he's leaking oil from his drip pan.
I was fine with him walking out and looking like he had just found a box of Sharpies. I don't care. But it was the leaking, you know, the running down and then grabbing a hanky and mopping at your hair dye running down your cheekbone.
And of course the Four Seasons landscaping, which of course that's if I'm having a press conference, that's the Four Seasons is where I go. All right. So I'm going to go to the other one here and I'm going to bring this up and I'm going to just for the listeners here. In case you didn't hear, the Biden plea deal today in Delaware wasn't shot down, but the judge brought up a lot of problems that they had with this and wanted basically to say there needs to be more clarification in this. You can't just, this is kind of too vague as far as what he's being, you know, what he's admitting guilt to, what the punishment's going to be, what the problem here. And basically it was a case where they, I think the judge was like, you know, it looks like they're saying any future crimes he's going to basically be, no problem with. And she's, you know, she was like, no, that doesn't seem to be the case. Your thoughts on that really quick.
I have not practiced law full time for 25 years.
Yeah.
And I know a lot has changed, but I can't imagine that this has changed. That when two sides enter into an agreement, you actually know what you're agreeing to. And when you show up in front of a judge and the two sides are not in concert about the fundamental terms, Matt, of the plea agreement, I don't understand this. I mean, and I've said this, or I guess I'm going to comment on this tomorrow in the commentary. This is not some overworked public defender grabbing an overworked prosecutor in the hallway and trying to sketch something out quickly while they have a judge available before they go to trial. And then, oh, I guess we forgot something. It's the son of the president. It is high profile. You haven't exchanged letters as lawyers. You didn't put this in a pleading that everybody signed off on before you came to the judge. How is it that they did not agree on such a fundamental term? Mm-hmm. I'm just stunned by that. And that has nothing to do with the right calling shenanigans and saying, oh, it's such a sweet deal, et cetera. That has nothing to do with that. They couldn't even get the deal agreed upon between the lawyers.
Well,
I don't understand that at all.
Do you feel as if the outrage from the right fueled them to basically, you know, say we're not necessarily cool with this? Because, it, you know, like I said, it did sound like it was a, you know, kind of set deal done. And so this thing kind of unraveling today, I almost kind of wonder if there had been pressure put on them politically saying, okay, no, you can't just go through with this. You have to, you know, dot I's and cross T's. And maybe it's your standard, you know, political family sweetheart deal. Maybe it is, you know, people are making politics. But do you feel as if any of that pressure from the Republicans maybe weighed in on the fact that this collapsed?
I don't think so. I was ready for it to. I was waiting to hear a judge start quoting talking points from Twitter or X or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But instead it was, all right, let me make sure I understand the agreement. Are you saying this, A, B, and C? Yes, we are, Your Honor. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not what it is. That's where it fell apart. It could have been neutral Judge McNeil, the hanging judge. But you could have been there, because all you're doing at that point...
Hanging out,
Judge,
you mean.
McNeil, your reputation precedes you.
By the grill. Court's in session. Who wants
we'll
a hot dog?
We'll have the trial, and then we'll hang him. Let's find a sturdy tree. You're up there just twirling a rope.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're that
yes,
guy.
That's
so
me.
You're simply saying that, sitting there saying, I want to make sure I understand the terms. They couldn't even agree on fundamental terms of what was or was not included.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I was prepared today for all sorts of shenanigans. I did not have failure to agree on basic terms on my Hunter Biden plea of guilty bingo card today.
Well, and someone pointed out today that he's not pled not guilty. And the reality is that, you know, the question here is, you know, do they really want to go to trial with this? Because this is from what it is. I mean, and this is just America today. You commit a tax problem, you really don't go to trial. It's just that's not the way things go. And so we'll have to see. I'll tell you what, when we come back, let's take a break. Come back. I want to talk about Republicans now starting to float the impeachment of Biden idea and how moderate Republicans are like, you say what now? We'll talk about that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein joining us. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Powderhorn Art Fair is returning to Powderhorn Park to celebrate its 32nd anniversary, August 5th and 6th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. each day. The fair will feature a vibrant and diverse selection of art from over 150 exhibiting artists from across the country. Whether you're just starting an art collection or a seasoned buyer, they'll have the perfect piece for you. Plus, there's more. Immersive art installations offer fairgoers a chance to explore interactive experiences that transport them into an artist's vision. In addition to all the fantastic art, over a dozen food vendors serving up sweet and savory delights will be ready for you and other hungry fairgoers.
A family zone will offer creative activities for kids of all ages and entertainment each day. The fair and activities are free to attendees. Make plans to head to Powderhorn Park on August 5th and 6th. Learn more at powderhornartfair.com.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
Hi, I'm Mary T. of the Mary T. Family of Companies. Our new Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care is a bold reimagining of what assisted living can be. Our emphasis is on creative meals, outdoor walking paths, and a spectrum of restorative therapies and activities. We are founded on a history of care. We are dedicated to enriching lives. Learn more about Camellia Rose Assisted Living and Memory Care by visiting MaryTInc.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Your senator, Grassley, released what could possibly be the most flimsy evidence I've ever seen to try to make drum up support. So there was this one interview that happened apparently with an individual they can't find now, where this individual said that Hunter Biden was shaking down someone in Ukraine, Burisma, and that money needed to go to Joe too. Now, once again, this is one interview with a guy that they can't find anymore. It has never been corroborated or anything like this. But once again, in the fantasy of the right, they're trying to make this into something here. Now you're hearing, and of course, the far right howler monkeys of the House, they're basically screaming that they want to have an impeachment trial and call Obama and rub their face in the dirt, that sort of thing. The reality is that if the Republicans in the House call an impeachment, I'm going to make the call right now. That will cost them the House and the Senate next year, because I just think the vast majority of people here, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to prove why you're impeaching the guy, and they just can't do it right now. Your thoughts on this? Do you think that McCarthy is now committed? This was one of his deals he made with the far right, that they have to bring an impeachment charge.
They're going to lose the vote. Go ahead and bring an impeachment charge. You're not going to get a majority. And how bad is that?
Are you sure? Are you sure about that? Because once again, you'd think that some of this stuff they've been saying, we're moderates, we're not going to do this. But yet, once again, they all get back in line and vote with the far right of the party.
But this, I understand the eye for an eye, which is their philosophy, which I don't agree. I just don't think they're going to get a majority, okay? Mm-hmm. But to your point then, if you try impeachment and fail, you've lost the majority. If you succeed by the barest of margins, it's never going to be a conviction through trial in the Senate. You once again have lost your majority. I mean, I just do not see it. And I asked Grassley about that form a couple of weeks ago, and I don't really buy the argument where he said, well, it should be out for the public to see. Well, yes, it should be out. But again, I don't think it went anywhere.
Well,
and
were you surprised?
Flat-footed.
Wait, since you talked to him about this, were you surprised when he released it individually and said, here it is, here's the smoking gun? And paraphrasing.
When he then said, well, I just think it's a public document. It's not confidential, so it should be released. I mean, that's the argument, but I think that's splitting hairs, quite honestly, because what you're doing is saying, I'm going to release any document from any whack job that's not corroborated. And journalists should not be running with that. The story being that it's released by a government official. Yeah, big deal. Yeah, I mean, that's not journalism.
Well, and it's not. And it basically is. Where's the evidence of it? They can't even find the guy that made the statements. And I mean, that's going to be, I think, a part of the trial. You're going to have to find someone.
Well, I said, where are the recordings? Yeah. We haven't heard anything of the recording. Well, it's just the assertion that's made by this party. Okay.
All their Hunter and Joe Biden stuff, for the most part, keeps just falling apart. They keep trying to make it happen, and Fetch is just not going to happen. Jeff Stein, once again, you can listen to this replayed over the weekend. Jeff, of course, of the Iowa Politics Report. We'll post it later. Thanks, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week. Hour two is up next.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wa!
Hi, this is Todd from 30 Bales on Main Street in Hopkins. My co-founder Tom and I developed our restaurant to celebrate everything Midwestern cuisine has to offer. Our upbeat neighborhood gathering place brings together bright personalities, bold recipes, clean ingredients, and craft spirits that play with the unique flavors of the Midwest. The menu at 30 Bales is inspired by seasonal ingredients grown close to home. Find us across the street from the...
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.